time has come again. The champion must die.
I didn't see you come in there, everybody. How you doing? My name is Andy Fiore. I am one of your hosts of the DYM podcast. With me, as always, is the Dutch, the Butch, the Cool Clutch, Sean Donnelly, everybody. How you doing, my friend?
How you doing there, Andrew? It's good to see the DYM Nation just sneaking up on Andy there real quick. You scared the bejesus out of me.
Dutch is hard to rhyme with.
What'd you say?
Dutch is very hard to rhyme with. I came up with clutch and then transitioned to butch, and then I was out of options there.
Yeah, that's about it, I think. A butch, clutch, Dutch. That's what I'm – wasn't clutch – clutch was like a word. Wasn't clutch like a word for cool for a while or something like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, dude, he's – well, in sports, it's a good thing when a guy's clutch. You know, it means he comes up in a big moment.
Yeah, like in the clutch. Like he has you in the clutch.
Yeah, so I guess that could be used in cool kid vernacular. Yeah, that dude's clutch, man. He's always got weed on him. He's clutch, you know?
Yeah, right. He gets his weed in the clutch. It's fantastic. Right.
Absolutely. Nice to see your smiling, beautiful face.
Oh, it's good to see you, my friend. I see once again we have a fantastic new nickname for the Cool Breeze. He ceases to be the Cool Breeze. Each week he's trying to change it up.
I'm always the Cool Breeze.
Always the Cool Breeze. The Cool Breeze is consistent. It's a consistent breeze, but every week we have a new name, and this week is Options Burgers Fiore, yeah. which I didn't get. And then Andy, before we started the recording, Andy was like, yeah, it's my rap name, Options. Only one option, Burgers.
I said it like it was a known
you
thing.
You said it like it was a known thing, and I was like, no. I'm like, no, that's not
it's
allowed.
It's a very inside joke of my Morristown, New Jersey homies. We would be in high school, and we'd, as all suburban white kids do, we'd start freestyling when we got drunk at house parties, you know?
No, you didn't.
Of course we did.
How have we gone this far in the podcast, and I didn't know
that? Because it's embarrassing, and I don't bring it up that often.
White Andy fucking freestyled when he was drunk at his friend's house in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Was it like that scene in Clueless? Where the guy was rolling with the homies? Rolling
absolutely.
With the homies.
That was a slice of life for us.
Oh, my God. Hold on, Andy, because we're not letting this go. This might be the whole episode. Let's be honest. And let's hear it. There's no way that you – okay, because I'll be honest. We used to write graffiti, quote, unquote, when I was a kid, right? Yeah. And I have friends that are still into it and are good at it technically. I had a graffiti name. I will tell you my graffiti name.
Okay.
Which isn't that embarrassing if you tell me what your rap name was.
Options.
Oh, it was really your – that was your actual
rap
name.
That's my rap name, Options, and I have the catchphrase. There's only one Options. Which is not a bad catchphrase.
It's not that bad, actually. That's actually – Options is not that bad.
It's Options. It's O-P-T-I-O-N-S. If I wasn't, why would I brush with Chris?
Options. From the streets. Well, I'm from the cul-de-sac. House at the dead end, and then our house kind of spans a couple.
It's a very well-to-do neighborhood.
It's a well-to-do neighborhood from the street.
Crime rate is very low.
What's the name of your street again? You grew up on
Indian Head Road.
Yeah, that's streets.
That street's gonna get canceled soon too.
Yeah, that's gonna get canceled. Yeah,
that was that. Why, that street never worked out for that porn star name.
Our game. Street was so street it was racist.
Now ours, yeah, that was always like your pet's name and the street you grew up on. Mine was always like Bruno Indian Head was my porn star name. You know what I mean?
Oh, but actually, that kind of works. Actually,
I guess yeah, Head is in there.
Head's in there, yeah. And it makes it sound like he's like this native dude that's doing porn.
It's very maybe. It's, yeah, I'm very niche. I'm sure if I typed in Indian Head on Pornhub, a whole slew of videos would come up.
Absolutely.
But to get back, yes, Options was my nickname. And
do you know what my porn name was?
Oh, what your porn name was? Oh,
you know my first dog's name?
Forget your dog's name.
Ginger Fernwood.
That could be a chick from the 80s.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, Ginger Fernwood. Yeah, Fernwood Terrace was my block. And
Suarez, what's yours?
Buster Palm.
Buster Palm?
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. No way. I think Buster Palm's been around for 20 years. You might have won that game. Buster Palm? Are you joking me?
That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
That's like buck naked. That's that level good.
It's that level good. Absolutely.
Buster Palm is so. It's like a play on words built in.
Holy shit!
Fantastic,
dude. Wow, I love you. It. Won that game, Mike. Holy
yeah. You're no longer Buster Bushy.
Palm? Now I want. Not yet. Now you're Buster Palm. What are you kidding me? Hey, Bust. Yeah, can you show us this clip? Hey, Bust. What time you want to record today, Buster Palm?
It's even like a, you know, like what was that guy? Was it Tim North or whoever? He would the dropping loads guy.
Peter North.
Like every yeah. He'd always go bust dropping loads.
Was that
Buster Palm?
And then it's gross, but your gimmick could have been. You ejaculate into her palm, or your hand. Like that's what you do at the end
Absolutely.
Of every porno is you busting her palm.
It's a hand fetish thing.
It's a hand fetish thing. Dude, if you don't change your name for comedy to Buster Palm, I won't be friends with you ever again.
Or at least on all social media.
It's got to be. Can we just have – can somebody make the handle Buster Palm
Buster
and be
Palm.
A fan account and for it, the podcast?
I'm assuming it's P-A-L-M, right? It's
Yes.
Yeah, of course it is.
Well, I guess there's no other way to spell palm. In my head, I was like, wait, is palm hands different than Palm Springs? I guess not.
No, it's the same for some reason, but it probably should be different.
Yeah. Buster Palm. God. Holy shit. I'm glad we brought that up.
Buster Palm. I thought Ginger Fernwood was decent. Buster Palm.
Yeah,
is like,
I thought we had three good ones. But
that's a grand slam.
Getting better and better.
Yeah, that's a grand freaking slam.
Buster Palm.
Good for you.
Yes. Yeah, so Options was one of my rap names, and then it became Burgers for some reason, and then it was Options Burgers.
I can think of a couple of reasons for why it became Burgers. Yeah. Actually, no, I shouldn't say that because when you were a kid, you were a skinny kid like I was.
Yeah, up until like the teenage year. Yeah, up until like 13. Then I put on some chub. But
yeah.
So my friends would call me up. This is the beginning. Burgers was right around 1999, 2000, when cell phones were starting to make their way into high society. And I was hooking up with this girl right after college. So this would be like 2001, 2002, from my hometown. And her last name, I swear to God, was Burger. Right? You know, B-E-R-G-E-R, however that was spelled.
Yeah.
And so I was at her house one morning. I woke up there, and this was newer into our relationship of us hooking up. And my buddy Jacques called me, and he didn't know I was at her house. But he answered the phone. He was like, "Burgers, what's up?" And she heard me. She heard Jacques be like, "Is he saying my name? Are you telling all your friends you're like already over here?" Shit, I got trouble inadvertently because of that nickname.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's like a Seinfeld episode type thing.
Total coincidence. Yeah. But
so you were Options at first, and then so you never were Options Burgers mixed.
No, it's always one or the other.
And what would you rap about Options Burgers?
Well, it was all mostly freestyle, so there was I only have one set rhyme, and which was the aforementioned crest. What is it? I don't even know like what you would call a bar. I guess I don't have any. Oh, I don't have bar. I don't have set 16 bars.
16 bars. Oh, you don't have any. You don't have any that you memorized.
I only spit one bar. It's Options. O-P-T-I-O-N-S. If I wasn't, why would I brush with crest?
Oh my God.
I know. Good, right?
Made my day. This made my day that you used to rap with your friends.
Why? We still do.
No, you don't do it.
Dude,
no,
if we don't. Go to my friend, Matt Udall has a hometown Christmas party every year. Obviously it didn't happen this year, but usually like every mid-December, like the week before Christmas, all the hometown homies get together. And it's a drunken festival, and we usually end up in the basement, and my buddy Chris will start it. And if like one or two of the mainstays are there, we'll be drunk enough and it'll catch on. And then like somebody's wife will come out in the garage, be like, they're rapping in the garage again. You know, like,
oh my God. Now I want you to be canceled so bad for this.
Why? You're not doing anything wrong.
Because you're white and you think that you can rap.
It's mostly for our own humorous entertainment.
I know.
It's I'm us trying to make each other laugh.
Yeah, of course. I'm busting your balls. Like,
it's not like.
But I would love to be there. Seriously. May I come? I don't have to come for the party. All I have to do is can you just give me a call when you guys start rapping and I'll show up to the house.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure my friend Chris tried to tape it one time because he's weird like that. So there might be tapes out there.
Dude, if you could get some for the show, Buster Palm would be forever in your debt.
Oh, my God. Buster Palm. My producer slash manager, Buster Palm.
Wow. And here's the thing, man. Like, I'm sure I've been – we didn't have, like, a tradition. It's so funny that, like – that you have it as like a holiday tradition. Like, that's weird. That you guys
It's not necessarily like a tradition
but it ends up being like that. You're like, we roast some chestnuts and we spit a couple of verses. Like, we just, we hit the dope beats and we spit some rhymes and we get our stockings out and we get our,
we exchange presents and then we exchange beats.
Options burgers, waiting for St. Nick. Don't be a dick. Show up to my house.
Dude, you'd fit right in. You'd fit right in. That's the level of intelligence we're working. Yeah.
Holy shit. That's great. I love it.
It is too funny. Like, everybody does have their known thing. My friend Udall, when he's just getting ready to jump in because he's that one guy who takes the uhs too far. And he's waiting for us to go, we're like, get in there, buddy. Any second. That's like 12 uhs.
Oh my God. It's so fun, dude.
Yeah, it was like, that thing in high school, you know, in the mid 90s, rap explodes. And so obviously we were trying to be cool and we're all hip hop fans. And then it just grew over time to be just more of a hilarious thing and trying to make each other laugh, you know?
Oh, yeah. Especially after 8 Mile. I'm sure there's a guy in your group that does he picked up the look thing from Eminem. Dude, look,
we're all the shook ones.
That's great, man. Good for you and your white friends.
Thank you very much.
No, but that's like what, like, there's so much shit like that. Like I told you. Oh, okay. So we used to write graffiti, but we barely, I had friends that wrote real graffiti and would go out and do it, but I like pretended to do it. And my name was Jess.
Well, oh, you did. I didn't actually hear it. Did you say it?
You want to try to guess it?
I was going to say, give me a hint and let me guess.
You know what's, you know, I'll even tell you an embarrassing part. Why? Okay. So the name, I'll tell you the name and you guess, try to guess why I did it.
Okay.
The name was Jesk, J-E-S-K.
Uh-huh.
And the hint of why I did it, and this is super embarrassing.
Is it an acronym?
No, it's the first three letters are like part of the hint of why I use that.
J-E-S. Just. It's not an acronym. They don't.
No, it's like, it could be like the first three letters are part of another word, and then you can see why I did it.
Okay. Is it Jester?
Yep. I think I'm pretty sure, I'm 99% sure the reason I did it is because I was like, I'm really funny with my friends. I'm the jester of my friends, so I'll be Jesk. That I swear to God, that's why.
What is the C? What is the C here?
No, it's the K, J-E-S-K.
Okay.
The K is just because all those things end in K or D or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah. But so there you go. Me being like, I'm the jester of my friends. So my graffiti name should kind of ring part of that, you know?
I support it. And then
we, the only graffiti thing I ever did was we wrote down the block from my house, there was a Long Island Railroad station, and we spray painted in the tunnel from the one side to the other side.
Yeah.
And we got chased out of there by the cops. And then we ran away and we were freaking out and we hid in somebody's backyard. And all these cops were driving around. We thought it was for us. But as it turns out, there was a robbery the same night we did it. And they weren't looking for us. They were looking for the robbery, the robbers. But this lady came out in her backyard. Me and my friend are hiding in her backyard. And she comes out and she goes, what are you guys doing? And he goes, we're playing Manhunt.
Yeah.
And then we just, she's like, get out of here, get out. And we're like, all right, all right. And we just walked away.
Yeah, dude. So we used to spray paint shit all the time too. Not to that level, but spray paint was a big part of our childhood. Absolutely. Manhunt was also a big part of our childhood and running from the police.
That's how you know, right. That's how you know you're too young and too old at the same time, where it's like you're getting chased by the cops and then your excuses, we're playing Manhunt. Like we're just, you know, it's like, like we're literally committing a crime and then going, whoa, we're playing hide and go seek. Like it's, we're like children, but we're like, look how cool we are. We're fucking doing graffiti. Yeah. Like whatever it is. It's so bad to me.
Most of our running from the cops was actually house parties getting broken up. That's when it would, you'd flee.
Oh, honestly, it was some
of the most fun times of my life. Like the biggest rushes of adrenaline to get away and to just kind of stake out. Oh God, it was fun. I can say that now because I actually never got caught, but like a couple of my buddies, my friend Jock, the aforementioned Jock who you've met, he got fucked up. He got fucked one time. Couldn't get out of the party. The cops caught him trying to run out of this girl, Meredith Ramsey's house, our sophomore year of high school, through this huge party, huge rager. And I was at my buddy Brown's house. He lives down the street, coincidentally. And they were like, come to the party. And his parents, in a beautiful, simple twist of fate, were gone that weekend. So his grandparents are staying with them because it's still a little young to be like home alone for a weekend. So his grandparents are they're in bed by 7:30 p.m. So he had a basement exit out of his door. So we just walked out of the house. No problem. And we went to this party, but we waited to be safe until like 10 o'clock. Right.
Right. Right.
We just walk up the street. We get to the front door. She lives on top of this hill. And she lived, the driveway goes up. We get to the door, we knock, and our friend Chris opens the door. He's like, you guys made it. And as he's saying the word it, his face goes white, and he looks behind us, and he's like, cops! Two fucking cop cars, the lights going on, pull right up. And so me and Brown just dart into the house. We, you know, we're trying to let everybody know. We're like, cops are here. Cops are here. Everybody. I see my friend Mike Jeffries. He was the biggest stoner of our whole crew. He is so baked sitting on this couch. I go, Mike, the fucking cops are here. He just looked at me like Spicoli. He was just like, huh? And like, didn't even move a muscle. And I just ran through her kitchen and ran out the back door and hopped over her fence. And we ran all the way around the neighborhood till we got to the back of Brown's basement door again. We took the big circuitous route to get away from the cops. But that had never had more adrenaline rushing through my veins.
Of course.
At that moment. And we harbored like four other kids who Brown was like, come on, follow me, follow me. And a couple of us, sailors got caught up in the storm and a couple of us got away. So,
wow.
But that is just so much fun. That happened a few times. The party's getting busted up and you're just running from the cops. It was much fun.
I've definitely done it. We've done it and we used to run from the cops. Skateboarding a lot. So then you either for some reason if the cops showed up and you skateboarded, you ran, but if the security guard came out, you would fuck with the security guard, right. Which is really a shitty thing to do because now being older
you're almost a Tysus.
Because this guy is making what, $15 an hour? It's like, come on, man.
Yeah,
what are you messing with security guards for?
It was funny, my buddy who used to skate with us, one time we also got chased out of his parking garage. We were rollerblading, not skating, I should say. It's a form of skating. But we had a mixed group, skateboarders and rollerbladers. And we got chased out. And my one friend, Pat, goes back and he's like, I know what car that security guard's car is. I know that dude. He went to high school with my older sister. I know that dude. He's like, I'm going to go fucking piss on his car door handle. And we were like, all right, do what you got to do, man. Okay. You know, like teenage assholes. And so the greatest thing about the most beautiful piece of irony, 10 years later, this kid Patrick dropped out of college and became the same exact security guard at the same exact parking garage. I swear to God, dude. Like 10 years to the day, he was now working there as like the parking attendant. And I was like, that's just karma, Kramer.
That is the most karmic thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know, right?
Holy shit.
I almost pissed on his door handle just to complete the circle.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? What a town.
In 10 more years, you're working at the garage.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's nuts. That's like you. That's like a movie.
It really is. To be fair, I mean, he's not the brightest bulb in the.
Well, obviously, but you know, there's a couple different clues to that in the story.
Oh yeah. Well, speaking of stories, watched a few things this week.
Oh, the kid watched a couple of things.
One television show and one rewatch. I didn't watch anything new movie-wise, but I watched a brand new TV program, as the old folks say, and I rewatched a film last night. I'll start with that one.
Yeah, what'd you rewatch?
I rewatched Ivan Reitman, George Clooney, not Ivan Reitman, Jason Reitman, actually, the son, Up in the Air.
Oh, great. Great.
Really play. Great.
Great, a twist that you do not see coming.
And here's what I wanted to bring up because of that twist. Right when he meets George Clooney's character, meets Vera Farmiga in the airport the very first time. And they're doing, if you remember the scene, they're kind of like trading their rewards credit cards.
Yes.
And they have all these different honors programs and whatever.
Yeah.
And she is going, she's basically saying how cheap that is. And he goes, he looks her in the eyes. He goes, there's nothing cheap about loyalty. And it's this crazy foreshadow of how the big reveal.
Wow.
Because I noticed it last night on the rewatch. She looks at him in kind of a weird moment where the first time you're watching it, you never would have picked up on it. And then on a rewatch, knowing what happens, he goes, there's nothing cheap about loyalty. And she gives him this kind of side look. And I go, what a foreshadow that was right there.
That's a great one. Great pickup. Yeah.
Thank you. I was really excited to tell. I started watching it at like 1 a.m. last night, and I couldn't wait to tell you.
I've watched that a couple times, never even thought about it. Wow.
Yeah.
That's great writing. That's a great movie.
Yeah. So good. It was really, I've seen it a few times, and for whatever reason, I just was stuck glued to it last night. I go, Clooney's great. Anna Kendrick's great. Vera Farmiga's really great.
It's also like the most
solid. It's a really, I like Jason Reitman's movies too. I think he did Thank You for Smoking.
Yeah.
And a couple other good flicks.
It's also like it's probably the most vulnerable, like one of the most vulnerable times you'll see Clooney in a movie.
Yeah.
Like getting like really, because I guess even in The Descendants, here's The Descendants is really good. And he's in that. And I have to rewatch that actually, but
it's good.
He's pretty sad in that as well. And this, they get him like frazzled in this. Like he's so cool otherwise, you know?
Well, he thinks he's finally, I mean, you know, he's this road warrior and the vulnerable stuff is when he brings Vera Farmiga back to like his hometown, speaking of it. And he's showing around his high school. He's like, that's me in the trophy cabinet. This is where I got my first fight. That's where I made out my first girl. And then they're making out. And then he's got this, you know, moment with his family where he's able to help his little sister for a guy who's basically been an absentee brother. And so, yeah, all his vulnerability surfaces for his character. And then, you know, he starts to open himself up more to, you know, his quote unquote girlfriend. And then he goes, you know what? I'm just going to go visit her. And he sees she has a fucking family.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. But, I did not expect
that twist.
And that's there's another one like that. And Crazy Stupid Love has the same kind of thing where there's a twist. It's a movie that you're like, I'm not expecting any twists. Like you're like, oh, this is a straight up story.
Yeah.
And then
that's a good movie too. I rewatched that or maybe kind of watched it for the first time from start to finish and was pleasantly surprised because
great movie.
I think it was going to be cookie cutter rom-commy, but it's a very
not.
Good kind of serious movie.
Yeah. It's like a legit. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good call. Up in the Air. I watched it not that long
ago. Nothing cheap about loyalty. Yeah.
Nothing cheap about loyalty, which is also a great line. What was the TV show you watched?
WandaVision.
Oh, I haven't started it. I don't have Disney Plus right now, so I'm missing out on some stuff.
Well,
I haven't started any of those. Mandalorian, I'm not caught up on. WandaVision, I didn't start. And what are you thinking?
Mandalorian's fun. What's her name? Just got canned today.
Yeah, I know.
Got canceled.
Yeah.
Gina
Carano.
I was
just talking to another comic about this. Robert Dean, my old roommate. These idiots with these stupid tweets. Now, it's one of those things where it's like, if you say you're an idiot for doing that and losing your job, I'm on the side of Disney, But guess what? Disney, like, they don't, you not get that you're working for a fucking corporation? Like, and it's one of those things where they're like, oh, it's anti-free speech. If you worked in the accounting department and you tweeted something and they decided you can't represent the company, they'd fucking fire you.
That happened to that woman like 10 years ago. Remember? She like tweeted something, got on a flight.
Oh,
and then by the time the flight ended, she was fired. And
she made like an age joke because she's on her way to Africa.
Yes,
and then she got back and they're like, you're done. Like, you are done.
Yeah.
And exactly. And but this one, this same actress, like a month or two ago, did the same shit and she kept her job.
Oh, really?
She did some other tweets and then it went viral. Like, and then people were like, fire. They didn't fire her. And then she did it again. And they were like, what are you, an idiot? Like, what? Just get rid of your Twitter or just promote your shit.
Any sort of consequence could have. Get rid of Twitter the minute you get any sort of role. Exactly. If I get anything, you're going to see my Twitter account deactivated in 30 seconds.
Immediately. Or it's going to be scrubbed or some shit or a new one.
It's going to be fucking scrubbed like the kitchen sink, brother.
It's like, what do you these people think? That they're on some crusade? You work for show business. You're not,
and I don't care what your opinion is either. I just like your TV character.
Yeah, exactly. And also,
what does she think on the Iran-Contra affair? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Also, you're taking a job from somebody else that wants the acting job and is in it for the acting part of this thing, you know?
I'll be fair, and I know you haven't watched The Mandalorian. She kind of stinks as an actress, dude. It's just she's like a good fighter and a warrior.
WWE.
Yeah, that's basically why, you know, she could handle herself in a fight scene, you know?
Yeah.
She's not there for her dramatic readings of Shakespeare, you know?
Yeah, I believe that.
But I heard.
Guess what? What were you gonna say? I know you're gonna
say that there was clamorings that the people, the Star Wars nerds, want Lucy Lawless to fill that role, which I'm all for.
That wouldn't be bad.
But I love me some Xena.
Is she too old at this point? That must have fucked up thing to say, but she might be.
No, it's she just, like, it's she a like fair 60? Question.
Isn't she 60? Like, she's not 60, maybe.
Yeah, but the character is, you know, in her, I don't know how, I don't 50s? Know what. She's 30 space years or however the age is working in the Mandalorian universe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, time does probably go different.
She's 1200 parsecs in Star Wars, you know.
But I will say another Mandalorian thing. What's the main character? Who plays the main character again?
What's his name? Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal. I just saw an article. I don't know if you'll be interested in this, Andy. He's going to play the main guy in the movie version of The Last of Us.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so happy. It's made for, I mean, it's one of the best movies I've ever seen in a video game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. That'll fit perfect. By your reaction, that seems like it'll fit great.
Yeah, because I really like him. He'll play Joel, which is, you need like a rugged kind of guy. He plays a guy from Texas. Or the character is a guy from Texas who's kind of
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know, yeah, I can see it. I like it. That's cool. I'm more excited they're actually going to make a movie. That's one of those ones I care about that story so much. I really just hope they don't fuck it up. But
yeah, that's why I told you, because I knew you would care about that news.
I'm hoping they do it right and they do the whole, I think there's going to be a trilogy in the video game. There might not be. They could end it at The Last of Us Part 2, and I'd be fine with that.
I doubt they will.
As a fan of it, I want to play it more, so I hope there's a third.
Yeah.
But that being said, the way Part 1 ends, it's on a cliffhanger. Like, like that's the way the first movie is going to end, if they follow it appropriately. So I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Because Part 2 has such a twist that you don't see coming there. You go, it's like a mic drop. You go, what? It's like one of the best twists I've ever seen, where you go, holy shit. And that's why it's like the story, even aside from gameplay, is so good that I hope they don't fuck it up. I mean, they've given you the bones there. You really gotta, you know, be a clown if you're gonna screw the story up. So yeah, good casting choice, I think.
It's one of those ones where
you go, this will bring us right into our topic. It's one of those ones where you go, yeah, until I see it, it's like, you know, Dustin Hoffman is Han Solo or something. You're like, I need to see how it plays out.
Yeah. Well, real quick, before we do our topic for today, which we have some time left for, but I wanted to say I just watched one new thing. It was a movie that I was dying to watch, and it was The Little Things on HBO Max with Denzel Washington and Rami
Malek. Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, yeah. Freddie Mercury playing a cop.
Was Jared Leto in it too?
Jared Leto's in it. Jared Leto is the heavy
criminal.
He's the criminal. The technical criminal. You got to watch it.
So yeah, okay. I haven't.
I'll tell you. It's pretty long. First 45 minutes is like, it's like somebody gave them a paint by numbers on how to make one of these.
That's what I heard.
These cop movies, right? But it picks up, and the ending is it makes it worth watching at least. It kind of pays off to an extent. The thing that takes you out of it is Rami Malek. He shouldn't play a cop. He just shouldn't play a cop. Like I think they were trying to make him like this real obsessed.
He's brooding. He's very brooding,
but he can't even do that. I think he watched Dirty Harry movies, and he's like, this is my impression of Dirty Harry. Like I don't think he opens his mouth 2 millimeters when he talks in the movie. Like, you can barely understand what he says because he's trying to just be so like stoic and, well, you're messing up, you're mucking around in my case. What are you doing? It's like this. I think he's trying to be very like noirish. It's noirish. It is noirish, the movie. And I think he's trying to stick to that acting wise. They even have him looking like that. Even you could throw him in a 40s movie. That's what anytime you put him in something from back in the day, it looks great because he has that look about him, you know? He just couldn't. There's a couple other things. I don't want to give him much away about it. I want you to watch it, but like, it's worth watching. Like, it is worth watching if you have nothing else to watch. But like, it's like
that. I got nothing else. I'm done. Like,
you're not gonna, at the end of it, you're not going to be like, that's one of the best things I've ever seen. Like, it obviously was like we got some big hitters here acting wise, and we got a decent script, and we're going to make our money off this movie. And then all the COVID happened, and then they were like, all right, we'll put it on WB HBO Max for a month, and then we'll figure it out. I think it's going to theaters after like February something.
Do you follow automotive news, or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host / two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.
Oh, dude, you know, that just reminded me. I was driving into the city the other day. I went by the still billboard up for A Quiet Place? Yeah, A Quiet Place Part 2.
Yeah, which never came out.
I know. I was like, yeah, what happened with that? What, they didn't do it on direct-to-video? They didn't do it on demand?
I think they're waiting. And they shelved it until it comes out. I will go to the theaters for that in a second.
Yeah, that'll be a good theater one.
I think that's why they're doing it, because if you watch it at home, it's not as effective as you watch in the theaters. Because I watched the first one on streaming, and I was like, oh, this would have been insane in a theater. Like, it would have been.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you're giving The Little Things the Dutch Donnelly double down pick of the week? No.
I would,
Last Resort. Nothing else to watch. Last Resort. Right,
yeah, that's, oh, there you go. That's a great new thing to call something.
All right.
Is it a pick of the week or a last resort? This is a last resort kind of thing.
Definitely. It's like me trying to find a girl in college. She's my pick of the week or my last resort. Canceled.
This is 100% a last resort, where it's like, if you're curious about it. Oh, here we go. Mike just said September 17, 2021 is, that's when it's going to premiere. Quiet Place 2. September 17, 2021. Okay. So all right.
It did have a theatrical premiere last year in March, where all the actors went to go watch it in the theater.
And then not a grand release.
Right. The next week was when everything shut down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes. They're smart though, because it'll still do well. Like, it's not like it's gonna.
I like that Emily Blunt.
In September, I think it'll be back enough where people will go.
I agree. I mean, we're Cuomo did a 180, and now it's like, yeah, we'll open our stadiums. Which is just like,
wait, is that what he's doing?
I guess so.
Oh, No Time to Die. What's No Time to Die? A Bond? Mike?
Yes, that's the Bond movie that was supposed to come out like last March.
Oh, yeah.
Where they did the media blitz
and
then had to cancel.
Right.
Oh, right.
Apparently, with No Time to Die, they've had.
That's a Seinfeld reference, and
it is a very deep cut. I'm glad you picked up.
What'd you say, Mike? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, with No Time to Die, they've had to reshoot a bunch of the product placement because a new piece of technology is the new thing now. Like when they would use like a new phone or something like that, they've had to go and reshoot it with the new thing because of the delay.
Really?
Yeah.
Yikes. Oh, I see. Because the company is like, well, we want our. But isn't that like, aren't you eating into the cost of what they gave you? Or, unless they're paying them again. They're paying you to use the, use it. It's really expensive to shoot those scenes over again. Mm-hmm.
I have no time to die. I have a million things to do. Sounds like a housewife complaining about her day. You know, I have to pick up the kids. I have to go get groceries. I have no time to die.
That's a Bond. It's just become fun. It's just Bond running errands in this movie. Yeah. Like,
you only live twice, and I have no time to die.
That's a great bit. That's a great bit that all the Bond titles could just be something a mom says when she's too busy. Wait, can we get a list of all the Bond titles? That is so perfect, Andy. That's so perfect.
It's all like the Skyfall, and I have no time to die. And I just, it's like, you only live twice, and I just want to do something for myself. I just want to get to Casino Royale once in my life.
Yeah, I have to take my cat Pussy Galore to the vet. can you bring up a name, the list of all the Bond movies, if they have it? If not, don't worry about it. Yeah. Oh, For Your Eyes Only, Living Daylights, GoldenEye. I guess not. Okay, maybe not. Maybe this
I
is
could
not.
Probably, I, can, I think I could string them
you
all
think
together.
You could do it? Like, I'm at the supermarket, and this guy cuts in front of me. He thinks he's what? The man with the golden gun?
Okay. I mean, I'm just trying to find Moonraker, and the kids love Octopussy. So I'm trying to make that for dinner. And this guy, the spy who loved me, cuts in front of me. And so I'm in the car now, and I realize I didn't bring my license to kill.
Yeah. Last night, my husband, I don't know where this came from, but he was like, he was great. He was like the spy who loved me. He was really. Yeah.
He fucked the living daylights out of me. And I mean, we did this position. I had never seen, it was like a view to kill. It was a very.
You know, on Sundays, I need time for myself. I get myself a bubble bath, and I just need a quantum of solace, okay? That's all I need, just a quantum of solace.
A quantum of solace is such a great measurement of time. Can I get a moment's peace? I just want a quantum of solace for once in my life.
Yeah. We already gave you dinner. What is the world not enough? The world is not enough? You already ate dinner, Timmy. The world is not enough.
Oh
my God! I've been going. I've been all
this
over.
Cough. I got to see Dr. No about this cough.
I've been running errands all day. It's like tomorrow never dies.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, that's perfect. Diamonds. That's great. Ooh. That's perfect.
Gotta pay my Spectre cable bill. That one might be only for the New York audience.
Hey, what are you gonna do?
Ooh, that one got me going in the lungs. Yabba dabba doo. That was funny. A quantum of solace.
I have
hilarious.
No time to die. I don't even have any time to die.
I have no time to die. My mom used to say a moment's peace. That was a big one in the Marianne Fiori vernacular. Can I just get a moment's peace?
Yeah. But today what we wanted to talk about, I'll tell you what's good for all this, a lot of movie stuff. I don't know if I should let the cat out of the bag for all these articles, but Mental Floss does a great job of some lists, and I'm obviously on their algorithm. People know about Mental Floss, I know, but they have a lot of great lists of stuff that I've not known about movies, or I've known, or they've expanded on. Yeah. So with this, I saw one today last night that I sent to Mike and to Andy that was about characters in movies that were supposed to die but didn't. And I
very
think
cool list.
Some of the people, a lot I didn't know. And one of them we knew because Andy talked about recently because of the novel. which was Jaws, which was with Matt Hooper and Jaws, which we talked about on the podcast. But there's a bunch of other ones. We wanted to go over the list for everybody and let you guys in on our thoughts on each one. And I think we should just do it like this. If Mike, if you could bring up the list.
Buster, bring up the list.
Buster Palm, bring up the list. Buster Palm, guess what? If Buster Palm's in a movie, he doesn't die. Buster Palm always wins in the end. Buster Palm gets the girl. He gets the girl, he doesn't die. You die. Buster Palm does not die. So anyway,
Buster Palm also be a Bond villain.
So what I want to do is go through them, and Andy, I want to get each of our. We can do it pretty fairly quickly. We can just say
a few I really loved on here.
The character dying, in your quick opinion, in your guttural reaction, does it make it a better movie or a worse movie?
Okay. Great. All
righty. First off, they have Han Solo. Apparently, was supposed to die originally in The Return of the Jedi, and a lot of Star Wars people are going to know this already. I guarantee you.
Sure.
But I didn't know that, and apparently, the reasoning Lucas didn't do it was because that a dead Han Solo doesn't sell toys.
Oh, really?
And that's why they didn't do it. Yeah.
Well,
and
I think it was the right decision for the story anyway, in my opinion.
I think so too. I'm glad that he didn't die. But I was fine with him dying in that reboot. I was fine
absolutely.
With when he died. I was
feel
like,
the same way.
It worked for me. It was like a perfect time to do it. It made sense for the story. So this actually, I'm glad this didn't happen.
Agreed.
Okay.
Moving on. Number two.
Agreed. Yeah.
Dr. Ian Malcolm
was Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park.
Life finds a way. apparently for Dr. Ian Malcolm, life did find a way because they didn't kill him off. And I would have been okay with this one, to be honest. He was a great character, but I don't think it would have really changed the outcome of the movie in any way. It just would have been like, it would have been a character I could have seen getting killed, and everybody would have been like, oh, we like that guy. Sucks he had to die. Because I don't think he came back in part two, did he? I'm not as familiar after the first one.
No, I don't think he did.
I'm okay with
maybe
this.
Maybe in part two, but not ever again. But I also think you could have killed him off in Independence Day.
Ooh.
His other doctor
after
character.
After he solves the virus?
Or his therapist character, whatever he is. Or no, science guy character. After he does it, like he doesn't. Maybe Will Smith gets out, but he doesn't get out.
I was gonna say that means Will Smith dies though too.
Not necessarily. There could have been a shootout. There could have been a.
What's up, Buster?
Oh, he's the main character in the second book.
But not in the second movie though, Dr. right?
Ian okay. Life finds a way.
All right, what's next, Mike? Next up, Deputy Dewey in Scream. I have barely an opinion about this, but he was supposed to die right after being stabbed. I don't remember the movie enough to, but I think this would have been, he was a main character. So whenever that happens, I would have been on board with this because it would have made it more of a terrifying, you wouldn't have known what was coming next if they would have had him die in it. So this, I agree, they should have killed him. It's David Arquette, but I think
I agree they should have killed him too.
In this article, they say the reason they didn't is because they made the character younger and they wanted to keep him in the movie for that reason. So if, I get what he's saying is that if it would have been some just like peripheral older character that becomes one of the murders, but because he became like a fixture in the series because he was in like a few of the movies, right?
Yeah, you can't kill David Arquette. It's
you can't kill David Arquette
right now.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah. I swear to God. Yeah, it's about him. It's called You Can't Kill David Arquette. And why
that's so funny. That's so funny. So I think I disagree with them keeping him. What do you say?
I say axe the motherfucker.
Yeah.
In the first one. It's a horror, scary slasher film. You should be killing people. There should be only basically one or two survivors in a slasher film.
Yeah, that's how I feel. You need to make it where you never know who's going to get it next.
For a movie that was so concerned with the rules of slasher movies, essentially, the one teenage girl should have survived.
Right.
It shouldn't have been. If they're playing by the rules, that's the rule. You know, the Friday the 13th rule. One person.
Yeah.
I just ordered a book last night. It's called My Favorite Horror Movie. I'm so excited to read it.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
I'm going to read it under the covers with a flashlight.
Options Burger is going to masturbate to it. Yeah. go ahead,
Moving on,
Michael.
Buster.
Yeah.
BP.
BP. BP, what's next?
Now, this is an interesting one.
This is a big one. Can you give us the paragraph? So this, I'm going to read the paragraph because it's Rambo in First Blood. So the first Rambo movie.
Oh, they I never wanted, knew that.
Yeah, so in the novel First Blood, Rambo counts commits suicide at the end of a long battle with Sheriff Teasley.
Sheriff Teasel.
Teasel.
Yes, Mrs. Teasel.
Rambo's death scene was filmed, but Sylvester Stallone saw the potential for a new franchise, so Rambo lived to fight another day.
Wow, in the old George Lucas technique.
Absolutely. And yeah, I think that they should have just let him die in this, and he would have, like, he could have found another franchise. Like, he
the next one. I agree, man. He was a fucked up character. He had demons, he had Vietnam, he had PTSD. He was ripe to commit suicide.
And if you don't remember,
that is a dark ending, though.
First Blood is a badass action movie, and if it would have just been First Blood, it would have went down as like one of the all time best action movies. But it gets muddied by its sequels, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
The next one is Rocky Balboa and Rocky V. So when he fights Tommy Gunn, he was supposed to die at the hands of Tommy Gunn. I wholeheartedly disagree with this one because all the awesome villains that you fought and all the bad guys you fought, and that's who you die from on the street with Tommy Gunn or whatever it is. Get at it. No way. No way.
Wholeheartedly disagree.
Yeah. So it's good that he didn't, because they changed the ending to him and the son walking home or getting pizza or pasta or some Italian thing of some sort.
This is going to, you know, I think they're eventually going to, if you're up to date with the Creed movies, which I love and are fantastic continuations of the Rocky universe.
Well, you know my theory about the Creed movies.
Rocky's going to have to get buried. He's going to have to get the final knockout one of these days.
I don't know if they're going to do anymore, to be honest, because he's beyond it. Michael, what's his name?
Jordan?
Michael B. Jordan is – he's too big for another Creed. I guess he's – I hope they do it. If they did it again,
if it was the final rock and they had Rocky die in Creed 3, that'd be a nice trilogy. It'd be a great ending to a saga, and you could really finally have Rocky get KO'd, so to speak.
He 100% should die. If you do another one,
he had cancer in the Creeds.
That's right. Yeah. So it would have been either they started off and
you see that last shot? He's up there on the hill, buried next to fucking Paulie. And next to Adrian,
absolutely,
and then Apollo Jr. goes and he starts to talk to them at the graves like Rocky does with Adrian. This one writes itself.
Probably. I'll tell you, I just got chills. I'll tell you right now.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'll tell you that if I had to guess, that there's a script somewhere where that's the ending scene. It's got to be. That's perfect.
And he's talking to he goes home and he puts up the picture of Apollo and Rocky fighting each other I can see it right now.
Oh my God. All right. What's next there, Mike? So Rocky V is a bad choice. Bad choice.
We can skip over this one. I don't even.
Who is this?
The girl from Paranormal Activity.
I don't care. Yeah. Yeah.
So I saw it once in the theater. Katie's I don't even Paranormal. Remember it. I remember it just being scary as shit, but.
Oh, so I knew about this one.
Interesting.
Dante Hicks and Clerks. So Dante and Clerks, originally at the end of Clerks, was supposed to get robbed and get shot or stabbed or something and then die. And then they decided.
Yeah, dude, no way. I'm happy they ended it the way they did. That would have been a psychopathic ending.
Absolutely. It would have been especially that movie didn't have enough weight to it to have him die at the end. Unless you do
that would have been great. Although I can't, how great would it have been if he's lying there dying? He goes, "I'm not even supposed to be here today."
Well, I'm sure that was it.
I disagree. Good ending. I loved Clerks so much. This was like groundbreaking for me when I was like 13.
It would have to be absurd like that, where I wasn't even supposed to be here today, and then they just walk out and he drops dead like that. But I think that's not. Who knows how they would have done it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, what's next? Dr.
Will Rodman.
So it's James.
James Franco's character. I guess Rise of the Planet of the Apes is the second. No. In the because these are good movies too, these reboots. Much better than the 2001 Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes. These are great. I like how they go their separate ways. Caesar kind of goes, becomes his own gorilla. He comes his own person, if you will. And then they split. Yeah, that would have been a tough one. But I don't know if I hate that he would have ended. That would have given Caesar more ammunition to be even more of a badass, you know?
Yeah. I have to admit, I've never seen it.
Oh, buddy. They're great fun. Big party.
Yeah, I got to watch it. All right, what's next, bud? What's next, Palmers? Buster Palmers.
Joker in Full Metal Jacket.
Joker in Full Metal Jacket. That I would say that could have been good. That could have been great.
Yeah, a lot of death in Full Metal Jacket. But
a lot of people think it's two different movies anyway.
It has one of my all-time top five favorite endings. And it's so dark. The ending is so dark with them as a platoon walking through ravaged, fiery, war-torn Vietnam singing the Mickey Mouse theme song. It's just so perfectly dark and great. I love that ending. Just them singing in unison in the most, the happiest song in the worst place on earth.
It is a great ending, but I would have been fine with it.
Because I mean, they had a lot of sentimental death. They had Cowboy die. They had, you know, the mother lover die. They had a lot of people.
As in the movie is like somebody who's narrating it from being dead.
Yeah, and you'd like to see one person. You don't actually know his. He's still in country at the end of the movie. You know, I mean, that movie had so many heavy deaths. The guy, you know, from Private Snowball killing himself to fucking Gunnery Sergeant Arlie Ermey gets killed. I mean, it's just there's a lot of death in that movie. You want to see at least one person live.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good point. It's a really good point. All right, what's next?
This one is like I don't even care about this one,
which is Jon Favreau in Iron Man 3. I don't are people attached to Jon Favreau in the Iron Man movies except for Avengers, where he has that moment with Iron Man's daughter, which is a great moment. What a great tearjerker.
So I might not have even seen Iron Man 3 because I think I kind of just bowed out of it at this point.
Ben Kingsley, the one with
then I definitely didn't see it.
And he plays the actor. It's not great. That's why it doesn't matter at this point. It's like if you have a shitty movie, who cares if a character dies in a shitty movie, you know?
Right. So just to add this, because we kind of glossed over WandaVision. If you stick with it, the first three episodes are tough, but they set up something big time. And it's a big thing of the Marvel Universe, which I had to like text Greg Stone about and be like, hey, fill in the gaps for me here. What is it? Who did this and whatnot? But by the time episode 4 hits, you go, whoa, daddy. Okay. Buckle up.
I got to check it out. I should watch
it. Yeah, it was fun. And I'm not even like a big Marvel guy. So
I know. That's why I'm like, I should watch. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't even know about this one, Kevin. Yeah. Here's a big one.
This is a big one. Okay. So you want to say this one, Andy?
Sure. Clarence Worley in True Romance. We all know Quentin Tarantino's first film. I like the blurb that they wrote that Quentin Tarantino gave Tony Scott his two scripts, Reservoir Dogs and True Romance. He goes, you can only make one. I'm going to make the other. And Tony Scott chose True Romance, which I go, thank God, because I think Tony Scott did a great job with True Romance, but I can't picture him making Reservoir Dogs. I can only picture Quentin Tarantino making Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
So exactly. To get back to this point, though, I can see this. I can see this, and I would have been okay with it. Because it was trending in that direction, and he even gets fucking shot in the head. So you do kind of think he's going to die. And I kind of like the story of Alabama getting a new life with the money and, you know, her, I guess, you know, being free from her past and going on and be able to live a happy life.
It also,
that being said, I'm not upset that Clarence lived, but I would be okay with this one.
It also it emboldens the character. The guy, it also brings him complete fruition of what he wanted to be. You know how they has Elvis talking to Amir about being a man and all this? So he would have been the catalyst to, like, he's her savior, whatever.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's a whole Jesus thing there where it's, you know, you're dying for, you know, other people and all that kind of stuff, whatever you want to call it. But now it would really, I think it would added way more edge to the Tony Scott movie, and I think it would have been a good idea as well overall. It kind of edges it out for me, like meaning that I'm okay with the way it went down. But you're absolutely right. The way they set it up is like his behavior the whole time is like you think it's going that way anyway. And it would have added some darkness to it, but also it would have made sense for the complete maturation of the character, like, and getting to that point, like almost like his mission or his purpose in life was to save this girl from, you know,
sure. Yeah.
From her problems or from her situation.
A noble spirit embiggens the smallest man.
What is that?
All right, two more. That's the Springfield's motto, and that's from Jebediah Springfield. A noble spirit embiggens the smallest man. She goes, embiggens? I never heard that word until I moved to Springfield. And she goes, the other teacher goes, why? It's a perfectly cromulent word.
The next one's Matt Hooper and Jaws.
We know Matt Hooper.
Yeah. So you can go. Yep. You can go to the next one. Oh, here we go. This is a big one because it's also one that I figured this is one that they kind of seemed like it was going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
Martin Riggs from Lethal Weapon 2.
I forgot his first name was Martin.
Yeah. Riggs from
Riggs and Murdoch.
Mel Gibson's character from Lethal Weapon 2. So when he says diplomatic immunity and he shoots him at the end, that he was just going to die at that point. I have to say that, I hate to say it because I like, but here's the thing. It's like, is there any Lethal Weapons that are worth it after two? And it's like, no, there's not. It's 3 and 4 and they're doing a 5 apparently. And they're just kind of, it's one of these things where you're diluting things.
What's that fifth one going to be like? They're both ancient.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be that, like him, he was supposed to, in the first one, when he's turning 50 and that was 30 years ago. So he's going to be 80. I think they'll play into it. I think they'll be retired. They'll have that. And then they go on a case and they're not, and Danny Glover's, you know, he's belligerent about it. He doesn't want to do it. Anyway, when it comes to this one, if you really think about it, it would have been better if they had him die at the end of this because he was in so much.
Buddy, I'm not that great with the Lethal Weapons, to be honest. I've seen him as a kid, but I mean, I don't know them as well as I know other movies. Like,
oh, I know these.
They're not second nature to me, you know.
The first two are some of my favorite. Are a couple of my favorite. I think they, you can put them up against any of those 90s, 80s, 90s.
Oh, sure, sure,
absolutely. But you know what happened?
Die Hard.
Lethal Weapon or Die Hard? Die Hard. Die Hard.
There you go.
We talked about that once, I think. Die Hard.
You made the right decision.
Die Hard all the way.
Die Hard 3 over any of the Lethal Weapons, in my opinion.
No.
Phenomenal film. I watched it again like 2 weeks ago. It's so good.
It's great. But I'll say for this, the choice for him to die, but you know what happens in 2 with the South Africans and...
Yeah. Once you talked about it, I remember.
Yeah, and so I think overall this would have been a better thing. Okay, what's next? This might be the last one.
Last one. Oh, good one.
This is a biggie. What do you think of this, Andy? Ellen Ripley from Alien. Sigourney
Ripley in Alien. Not Aliens. That's part two. Alien, the first one. If the way they did it, like, apparently they were supposed to have one of the aliens kind of kill Ripley, but yet take over her body. That would have been a badass way to introduce part two. But again, I like the idea of at least one character. You have to have one survivor. You know what I mean? And like that, she's the perfect survivor in Alien.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else is pretty much is dead. I don't know. Alien. I love the Alien movies, but I think they're a little bit overhyped in a genre. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think they've aged as well as people think they have.
Yeah. A lot of times people go, Alien, it's one of the, you know, scariest movies. I go, not really
at all.
I say the same thing about Halloween. People go, Halloween, maybe at the time, 1978, it was groundbreaking, but I go, it's not that scary. It's just not scary.
Once you know something's old, it takes you out of it. Like it's not as like you're it's separating you from the reality of what's going on.
Agreed. But this I don't know. I like the way it ends. I say Ripley lives.
I also think
Ripley, believe it or not, I like the way it ends.
I guess you're right. If they did it the way you said they did it, which is what they talked about, with where the alien takes over. You could have had a great sequel with that, but the sequel was so good. It was a great sequel. Like, and you don't get any great sequels. How Lethal Weapon 2 was a great sequel. Right. So I'd say that's a bad, it's a good decision they let her live, basically.
I was so excited for Prometheus, but, and they really just, it's not, I don't even think it's that bad a movie, but they just kind of fucked up the storyline, and I guess it was rushed.
That happens. So that's the list. I think it's a pretty good list of these movies that, not a, you know, it's, I mean, meaning it's pretty interesting. Like, it's a lot of things that I didn't know. A lot of, like, I didn't know about the Alien one. I didn't know about the Martin Riggs one, and I'm a big Lethal Weapon fan. I had no idea.
It'd be kind of a fun exercise to think of our own. They have, what if this person died in a movie? Maybe we'll come back next week with that.
You know what? That's what we should do. We should put it out there. We'll come back. That'll be our homework for the week. We'll come out with movies that maybe the characters should have died.
I got one immediately.
Well, don't say that.
Save it. I thought of it. First one that popped into my head.
But Dimwit Nation, do us a favor. Tweet at us the movies, your choices. Characters that I guess you can go both ways, right? That died that shouldn't have.
Yeah, you can take it both ways. You would have liked to see him live or die.
Yeah, it's at the DYM podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Please check us out. Sign up. Message us. Tweet at us. We'll tweet right back. We talk to people. We talk to Dimwit Nation all the time. It's amazing. Also, on top of that, you can follow Andrew Fiore. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter as well, at Andy Fiore. That's his info. And he also has a radio show on Sirius every Thursday at 4. It's called The Raw Report. It's on Raw Dog 99. You got to check it out. Right, Andy?
Absolutely. And while you're there, tune in a day early, 24 hours prior to that, on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on Sirius XM Raw Dog 99. It's Sean Donnelly's very own show, which is called Celebrate. It was an amazing show, hilarious show. They take one topic and celebrate that each week. So why don't you download SiriusXM if you haven't now? I don't know what the hell you're doing. They got all sorts of deals and everything's on demand. You can catch up to all the old episodes. It's a ball. Just
a ball. Got to say this. Celebrate pretty soon coming up. We're going to have James Fox, the director of The Phenomenon, the UFO documentary.
Boy. Try and contain yourselves.
I lost my mind.
I'm sure you did, buddy.
I lost my fucking mind.
Good for you. I know you love the – it's funny you don't like the alien stuff more. It was such a big UFO
I like some
guy.
Alien stuff. Yeah, I do. I do like some alien stuff.
Boy, when I saw Fire in the Sky in the theater as a kid, I fucking freaked out, lost my mind. I thought I was getting kidnapped by aliens for like 3 months after that.
We want to thank our friend know him as Buster Palm. I don't know
Palmer.
What I call him. The Palmer. Why'd you choke out Dave Palmer? Palmer?
I had a lot riding on that. What does he go? He goes personally and financially.
He goes, what happened that day, Bomber? Is that what he says in Royal Tenenbaums? You know, just like
why'd you choke out there that day, Bomber? That's so good. Special shout out to Dimwit Dan, maybe our most loyal listener. He listens to the DYM podcast every week. And guys, if you're in New York City, go support his bar, 11th Street Bar. It's a wonderful, great bar. They're open and doing all safe COVID stuff. And these small businesses need our help, guys, because the government sure isn't doing anything. So support Dimwit Nation. Support those who support us. There's a good way to put it.
Please do. And guys, and please tune in next week. And we want to thank you guys so much for listening. And we love you. And we want to thank the Laugh Button for having us. And it's been nothing but amazing. And thank you so much, Andrew. Options Burger. Eminem Fiore, I appreciate you doing this, and we'll see you guys next week.